So as we start this new year, it's a time we think about change. Is that right? Anybody thinking about change? Maybe last year wasn't the best year. Or maybe it was a great year and you want to improve upon it. Maybe you're just a person that loves to have goals. I personally like the whole thing about years. I know God doesn't operate in years. He doesn't have an end of the year kind of thing and, well, I'm going to do things differently this next year. That's not the way he looks at things. But I think it's good for us. And it is a time to think about our lives and where we're at. And it is a time to make changes. And I want this year for you to be successful, that you see the kind of results that you desire. So we need to be reminded of some things, especially right now, from the Scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 23, I want to read this from the Amplified Version. Read this verse in several translations. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life." You know, some people are so important, they have armed guards. Or, you know, our president rides in a vehicle that's bulletproof and maybe bomb-proof. I don't know how much it can be, but, you know, he's got guards. And we guard things because they're valuable and they're precious. And maybe something you have is so valuable, you're going to put it in a what do you call those boxes? Safety box, yeah. Put it in a safe or something like that, and, because it's valuable. Well, here, the writer, David's saying, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23, New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so we have a heart. We have something that needs to be guarded, something on the inside of it, inside of us. And whether or not you realize it, we live from the heart. We live from the inside out. And most of what we deal with every day in our lives has to deal with people's choices. Now, there are some things that are, we can talk about the weather or some situations. But most things that happen to you in your life on a daily basis have to do with choices. The decisions that you make and the decisions of people around you. And human choices are expressions of your heart. Does that make sense? And so the greatest need today facing mankind is a renovation of our hearts. Renovation of the inside of man. And there's a whole lot of money being spent, and it should be, and it's okay. But there's a whole lot of money being spent on the outward part of our lives. But how much time and effort is spent on the renovation of the inside, which is the most important? And so, as we're looking at this year, and we are, and it's good. We're doing Team Lean, and we're coming to Trust Challenge, and something with our finances, and maybe other areas that you want to change. And those are outward things, and those are good things. But those changes will not be permanent unless there's changes on the inside. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we're starting 2015, because it's easy to be working on this and working on the outside. And so do those things, but make sure you've got a plan for the renovation of your heart, on the inside. So we need an inward makeover as well as which will lead to an outward makeover. Now, a heart impacted by God and His grace can transform things. And even the things that the enemy does for harm in our lives, maybe even things that we do or other people, what they do, a transformed heart with God's grace and God's love, can change situations, can turn things around. So Jesus came to introduce a spiritual revolution of transformation. That's what he came to do. He came to change things. He came to change people. He came to change people's lives. And that transformation process that began, that started 2,000 years ago, is still working today. And if we let it, that transformation is just as strong today as it was 2,000 years ago. And that transformation process will continue until the end of the age. Jesus is the master of transformation. Jesus is the master of renovation. Jesus is the master of true change. So if we're wanting change, we're going to have to go to the source. So as you're making your resolutions for 2015, don't forget what is vital: the renovation of your heart. Now, who did Jesus like to rebuke in the New Testament? Who did he get in people's faces? And most of the time, it was the Pharisees. And these were the people that outwardly were supposed to have it all together, right? They are the ones that had all the rules and all the regulations, and were the ones that people were to pattern their lives after. They were the leaders. But look at what Jesus says to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And I'll start reading in verse 25. "Woe to you." Now, if anybody starts the conversation with you saying, "Woe to you," it's not looking good. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Oh, it's not getting any better. How would you like someone to start a conversation? "You hypocrite." This is not going to end well. "For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." So that's a good word. If we want this outside to be clean, we've got to first clean the inside. So what's the goal of a heart being renovated? Galatians 4:19 in Amplified says this: "My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs, until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you." That's the goal of heart renovation. And so the inside of us is conformed. Think about that. Conformed to the image of Christ, to the image of Jesus. And that's the work that's happening in our lives. And it's not a one-time thing, a one day in your life. It's a continual thing as long as we live. So what does the renovated heart look like? Well, there's so many scriptures, but I'll just read one. Philippians 2, verse 14, New Living Translation says this: "Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of a crooked and perverse people." What it will look like when our hearts are being transformed, when our hearts are changing, we're going to shine like a light. I mean, people are going to be, they may not even know what it is, but they're going to see something different about us. They're going to see Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're going to represent Him. And again, it's something that we grow in. But more and more each day, and I hope more and more each day in 2015, that you are changing on the inside so much so that it's affecting the way you look, your expressions, and that people will notice it and will be drawn to you because of that. So He wants us to shine like lights in this world. But in order to renovate something, we have to know what we're renovating. We're talking about the heart. What are we talking about? Well, let's take a closer look on what's inside of man. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says this, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So He talks about three parts of man. And this is true for everybody. There's not one person alive or one person who's ever lived that hasn't had these three parts. And it'll help you to realize that when you're dealing with people, that they are a three-part being. So let's, you know, briefly go over all the three parts. And I like the fact that all of them are important. The body is important. The body is important. You got to have a body. The soul is important. The spirit is important. They're all important. They're all connected. And then God's got a plan for each. And He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healthy in all three parts. And if you're healthy in two and not in another, whatever area it is, it's going to affect your life. So His desire is wholeness. So the spirit of a person, this is the real you. The spirit is that person that's either alive or dead to God. Does that make sense? It's alive to God or dead to God, and we'll get into that. But when a person dies, our lives, according to the Bible, doesn't just end. And we don't like to hear this, and maybe it's not what you want to hear at the beginning of 2015, but there's only two destinations for our spirits when we die. That body is put in the grave, but there's heaven, and think about all that you know about heaven, and then there's hell. Now, there's a lot of people that today, they don't believe in either one of those. They believe that we just end. But again, we're going to have to go to the Bible. I go by the Bible. I don't just make up things here. And so you're going to have to come to terms with that. That my spirit is either dead to God or it's alive to God. And if it's dead to God, the destination is not heaven. I hate to say that. According to the Bible, the destination is hell. And that's not a good place. But if that spirit is alive to God, the destination is heaven. That's a good thing. And this life, you know, I don't know how old, I'm 52. I feel like I've lived a long life, 52 years. But 80 years, 100 years, Shirley's 80. 80 is nothing, Shirley, in comparison to eternity. It's just, the Bible said, it's just a vapor. That's hard to believe. You lived 80, I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but you lived 80 years. We should honor you. That's amazing. But it's just a vapor. It's short in comparison to eternity, in comparison to forever. The spirit of your spirit connects you to the spirit realm. See, there's a whole other world operating that's more real than this world. And that's where heaven and that's where hell is. But it's a whole world and it's more real than this world. That's hard to grasp and hard to understand. But that spirit, the real you on the inside, connects you to that other world. And it identifies you. We will know each other in heaven. Even though our bodies are removed, we will know each other. So that spirit must look similar to how we look. And for the believer, it's where the Spirit of God dwells, with our spirits. All right, let's talk about the soul. And so we're talking about that's part of that, our inner part. This is part of the heart. This is the inner part of us. And so if we're going to be renovating, that's what we're talking about renovating in there, right? Now the soul is, and I like to say it this way, is the connector between that spirit realm and this natural realm. It consists of at least three parts. The mind, which is our thinking, our reasoning. We have data storage there, event storage, memories. It's the part of us that solves problems. It's the place where revelation from the spirit realm comes to this natural realm. Then there's our emotions. This is where we feel things. It can be pleasant or painful. We can be attracted to things or repulsed by things. These feelings that we have, these emotions, can be rational or irrational. You ever dealt with somebody and they're just saying and doing irrational things? That's based on feelings. And feelings are strong and feelings are powerful. Feelings are important. This is the place where passion comes from. We need passion in order to live this life and to carry out God's plan and to go after things. You need passion. Then there's the will. And I talked before about decisions. And the will is pretty darn important because that's the decider. I just remember what I said before. Most of the things that you deal with on a daily basis have to do with decisions, right or wrong. And those decisions ultimately come from the will of a person. Now, the will brings in the emotions and the mind. One can be stronger than the other, but you can make emotional decisions, you can make rational decisions. But the will is supposed to take both and make a decision. And what that decision is yes or no. Yes or no. And that will, I don't want to get too deep here, but that will is a reflection of our character. And our character is a reflection of the image of Christ formed on the inside of us. So the will is a reflection of the image of Christ. Right? And that's our character. So we're talking about the heart. And so this is a pretty important. And ultimately what we want, the goal of the renovation of the heart is for you to make good decisions. To make the right decision. To make the decision that Jesus would make if He was here. And that's ultimate where, you know, that's where we're going. And for 2015, to be successful, you're going to have to make the right decisions. And if things didn't go your way in 2015, you're going to have to go back and look at some of the decisions that you made. You ever think about decisions? I saw Brian Lewis. I don't know if he's here at Walmart. I love Walmart. Susie hates Walmart. I love Walmart. It's so fun. It's just America at its best or worst. All in one building. So I saw Brian there, Brian and Maul, and we were just talking about things. Just talking to Brian about what's happening in his life and all the things that are happening, and we got in this conversation about decisions. How important these decisions are in where we at today. And it's an accumulation, you may not want to hear this, but it's an accumulation of good or bad decisions. And sometimes even little decisions that we don't really give much thought have big ramifications. I think about that decision to go to ORU. That's where I met Susie. Was that a good decision or a bad? No, no, that was... It was a great decision. Great. Most of the time. Yeah, no, no. Starting Good News Church. That was the decision. It had a lot of ramifications to it. So those are a couple of good, I'm going to tell you about my bad decisions. Maybe I should, huh? Would that help? I'm thinking of a couple right now. We're not going to share those. Okay. Now the body. So that's the soul. The body, it's the focal point in this physical world. It identifies us to each other. It can be trained for good or for evil. So, the hidden part of your heart, we're talking about the renovation of your heart, we're talking then about your spirit and your soul. I'm going to put both of those together as we're talking about a renovation of your heart. That's what your heart consists of, your spirit and your soul. And these three parts, just like the human body, all the systems in my body are really connected, closely connected. They're, you can look at them and study them, and there can be separate functions and separate things, but they're all really connected in our bodies. And it's the same way here. It's hard to say where your spirit starts and where it ends, and then your soul, you know, it's just all enmeshed and immersed and connected together. They work closely with one another. And, you know, and again, to remember, we all have these parts. Did anybody follow the thing that happened in France? Did you see kind of the images of the terrorist guy that killed that policeman? I mean, it's hard to look at him and say, well, he's a spirit and a soul and a body. But he is. And so that heart can be corrupt. And he may have thought that he was doing something for God. So the heart can be corrupt. The heart can be deceived. But he thought shooting that unarmed policeman was a good decision. So you see where we're going here, what people are capable of. We're capable of extreme goodness and generosity and love, but then we're also capable of atrocities, horrible, despicable, unmentionable things. And so the heart is important. The development, the formation of it and how we treat it and guarding it is very important. So, let's talk about the beginning of heart renovation. The beginning of heart renovation is becoming alive to God. For your spirits to become alive to God. And so, to see where corruption entered into man, we've got to go back to Genesis. Go back to the garden. Let's look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15 says this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Let me ask you a question. When they ate of the fruit of the tree, Adam and Eve, did they die physically? So is God a liar here? Did God have it wrong? So what's he talking about? What died? Spiritually, they died. Gave themselves over to the enemy. And so that's where sin and corruption, became corrupted, like a hard disk became corrupted, you know? Evil, all the characteristics of Satan came into man. Now that's kind of depressing, because then every person born after this is born dead to God. And that's hard to see that when you got this cute little baby, cute little child. But if that child does not encounter God in God's grace, its potential for evil to happen is greatly increased. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? This is the whole plan of the Old Testament. It's the whole plan of the gospel. Was renovation of the heart. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Or maybe just you can just read it on the screen here. And we should be grateful today. I hope you walk out of here with just a smile on your face and just praise on your lips for God's goodness. Because look at what it says here. Ephesians 2, verse 1, Message. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. That's who you are, who you were. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, they don't. They think they do, but they don't know the first thing about truly living. Tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief. And then exhaled disobedience. The fruit of that unbelief, that fruit of that rebellion, manifested in disobedience. It led to decisions, wrong decisions. We all did it. Everybody here, we all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing. And that's the world's ways. Do what you feel like doing. Not what God wants or what God desires. I mean, God's out for your good. He's not out to take all the fun out of life. He is fun. He is joy. He is happiness. And so what the enemy wants you to do is what feels good to you. And there's a way that seems right to man, but the end there is death. And then there's this scripture. We love this one. The wages of sin. And sin is just missing the mark. It can be various levels of missing the mark. But the wages of sin is death. Or if you do a little more study in that word death, it's the word misery. So this rebellion or going against God's ways leads to misery. And that's why how we don't understand some celebrity that has it all, that takes their life. We can't fathom that. They've got everything. But they're missing, obviously, something in here. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it. All of us put in this, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper. Aren't you glad today he didn't lose his temper? Because rebellion in a lot of circles means death. You rebel in certain kingdoms, it means death. You're dead. You're dead, your family's dead. That's man's ways. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy, This is where renovation starts here. It starts with God. It doesn't start with us. It starts with Him. Immense in mercy and with incredible love. If your heart's going to be renovated, if you're going to ultimately make the right decisions, you got to come face to face with His immense love, with His mercy, with His grace. You come to, and this is the problem with religion, because they've lied about God. And so how can you, and so you're facing not reality. But I'm talking about the real God and the real Jesus of the Bible, not what man has said. But you come face to face with grace and come face to face with love, and you let it in. It brings renovation. It brings healing. It brings health. And when you first do that, the Bible calls that being born again. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Immense in mercy and with an incredible love, He embraced us. I love that. That's why I hope Good News Church, we're an embracing church. One of our values is open arms. Even when you come in here, I mean, you could be corrupt. You could be dead to God. You could be all these different things, even doing wrong things. But you can come in here and be embraced, because we reflect Him and His mercy and His love. And we're not judging you or condemning you or you're no good, you don't deserve to be here. I'm sure some of that goes on here, but I pray more and more it leaves. That's religion, when we judge you on your outward appearance. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive. Woo! Hallelujah. Made us alive in Christ. Amen. Do you want me to do my little jig? I saved my real dancing for home. Frank, I got some moves. You haven't seen them, but I still got some moves. And maybe one day, if I really get free. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on His own with no help from us. And so what happened when you made Jesus the Lord of your life? When you were born again? When you received Christ? When you gave your life to God? And see, there's no way you can clean yourself up or get in a better place to receive Jesus. In fact, when you're at your worst, that's the best time. When all hell is breaking loose and you're doing one stupid thing after another, that's when you need Jesus. And I love what the Bible says, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, it's not judgment, it's not condemnation, it's not punishment that comes, because religion will tell you that. It's love, it's overwhelming mercy, it's grace, yes, it's forgiveness, yes, it's healing. I still remember 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, when I gave my life to the Lord. I was changed. My inside was changed. And what happened is my spirit was made alive to God. And I got up the next day, and again, now the soul and the body need to catch up to the spirit. They're way behind. They're still corrupt. They're still all the junk in there. And it's a difficult time, really, after you get saved. And we have a lot of casualties at that point, because they don't know how to deal with that. But I just remember waking up the next day, and just the sky looked bluer, the grass looked greener, the birds were, you know, chirping sweetly, as opposed to before when I had a hangover. It was just like, oh my God, turn those birds off. And even my dad, when he would sing that song, "Good morning, good morning, glad to be alive." When I was having a hangover, I wanted to go down and just slap my dad. We had this intercom system to our room. He'd sing that song every morning to get us up. Oh, my head's just pounding. Turn it off. I'm throwing shoes at the speaker. Wish I had a gun. Just blast that speaker out. But even that song, well, yeah. Good morning, good morning. Glad to be... I mean, I loved it. Yeah. I'm going to start singing that to you, Harry. Grayson, that's what you're missing in your life. Call you tomorrow and sing to you. Who's first? Frank? What time you get up at, Frank? Huh? Okay, 3:44, I'm calling you. Good morning. Good morning. You're glad to be alive. Good morning. Good morning to you. It's going to be a great day, Frank. Wake up, buddy. Actually, it's going to be a tape recording of that. But it's the real me, so... Verse 6, then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace. You get a revelation of that. Is that when you wake up, are you thinking, well, this is the day the Lord's going to shower grace? He wants to shower grace for this life, as short as it is, and for all of eternity. Shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all His idea. In all His work. And all we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from the start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we never make nor save ourselves. And so today, if you want renovation, you're going to have to say, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I need something bigger than myself. Because when I'm the God of my life, it turns in disaster. When I'm the Lord of my life, it doesn't work. Misery. And that He is a master, a loving, caring master that I can follow, that I can wholly give my life to, and I can trust Him with it, in knowing that He'll never harm me, that He's got a hope for me, He's got a future for me, He's got plans for me, He's made me to do something great, He's given me gifts and abilities. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work that He does. The good work He has gotten ready for us to do, work we'd better be doing. So if we're talking about renovation of the heart today, we're going to have to start with your spirit, and your spirit needs to be alive to God. If it's not alive to God, renovation of your heart is going to be impossible. Because you can't have renovation of your heart without Jesus. And so you can make all the resolutions you want and go through all the makeovers and pay all the money for everything, but it's not going to give you what you're desiring. So if you're here today and you've not done this, this is your day today. You can walk out of here with your spirit changed, made alive to God. And again, the Bible calls it being born again, being saved. However, whatever terminology, it doesn't really matter the terminology. You're going to be different. You're going to be changed. But it starts with you saying, yes, Lord, I'm giving up on myself, trying to do it all. I give it to you. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Now your mind and your emotions may be fighting that, but deep down you know this is the answer. And so I'm going to give an invitation at the end of this service today, and I just recommend, don't think about it, just do it. Just receive it. Holy Spirit's already working on some folks right now, and just respond to His love. Respond to His grace. And I just claim right now in the name of Jesus for fear to go. Fear holds us back. God doesn't operate by fear. And just open your heart. But you know, it's not just those that have their spirits that aren't alive to God. You know, your spirit can be alive to God and your soul be messed up. Sad to say, I do too many funerals where people are going to heaven, but their lives didn't reflect their spirits being alive. And so here today, I mean, you may be sitting here and no one can tell it, but there's not good things going on in your soul. And so I've got good news for you. As we start this year, renovation will come. Jesus will come. This may be a today where you need to call out to the Lord. It's the same saving power. It's the same grace. It's the same faith. See, it's difficult for me to judge if you're close to God or if you're away from Him. But you know if your light is shining brightly. We may not be able to pick, I mean, eventually we probably would. But you know where you're at. And maybe to those that, maybe you're already born again, you're already a believer. Maybe this is a day you say, hey, I need Jesus today. Help me. We've got some renovation to do in my heart. We all do, really. So it's a time to open ourselves to Him. And He's not, and He's just what He did when you were saved. He's going to come. It's going to be grace. It's going to be mercy. It's going to be His love. He's going to help that heart be renovated. And so this explains, though, why Christians can make bad decisions. That's difficult. But people that believe in Jesus can make the wrong decisions based on the soul being unhealthy. Now, that's not God's best. And that's why sometimes we can almost have like a division, kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. In various parts, that has to do with that. Different times. I mean, and what we're talking about is really having a sensitivity to our spirit, which is alive to God, and letting that influence us more than the soul or the body. If we just leave it to the body, it's going to lead to corruption. I love what 2 Corinthians 5 says, new creations. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. And that's not just for the new believer. Who wants some old things from 2014 passed away? Behold, all things become new. You know, His mercies are new every morning. I'll close with, I didn't give you the scripture, guys, but let's look at 2 Peter. Read the scripture and then we'll end it for today. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that you through these may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That spirit has been created in the image of God, in the image of Christ. It's been made righteous. It is holy. It is blameless. And we need to learn, and that's what we're going to talk about, is learn how to tap into that and so that it can affect our mind, our will, and our emotions in such a way that it affects our body. And if you live from the inside out, then, again, not perfect. We're not talking about, we can never be perfect. But you can be healthy. And if you're healthy, there's going to be a higher percentage, a higher chance you're going to make the right decisions. And if you make the right decisions, it's going to influence this outside world here. And it's going to impact the people around you. I mean, what would happen today if you just the decisions that you started making were from God's wisdom and from His love? You start doing that, I mean, people are going to notice something different about you. I think that no matter where we are, people should be seeing us grow. People should be seeing differences, even if we've been walking with God for a long time. Because we're being molded, the hearts are being molded into the image of Christ. It should be more of that. And that's my prayer for you in 2015. I want you to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I want you to have your finances on. I want you to sit up straight. Sean, don't be leaning and hunching like that. He's going to be doing that the rest of the week. And that's the deal. We focus on that. And we do that with our kids. When really the most important thing, and I'm not saying not to do that, but the more important thing is the renovation of the heart. And we've got to become skillful in that and how we do that. And it's done with love and grace and mercy. Speaking the truth in love. So let's believe together for some good things to come out of this. But for right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'll just say to you that today is your day. Today is a day of change and the beginning of a great renovation plan that the Lord has for you. Now let me ask you this question, and your answer to this question will locate where you're at. If you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know where you spend eternity? And just right away, what's your answer? If you know yes, and it's based on the Bible, and you got Scripture and truth for that, then I'm not talking to you. But if you don't know the answer to that, and you don't know where you spend eternity, and you seem like you're far from God, and He doesn't love you, or He wants to punish you, and that's a lie. And so today is your day. You can walk out of here knowing that heaven is your home, knowing that you're going to spend eternity with God, but then also your spirit will be alive to God, and that's going to immediately begin to bring changes in your life for the better. And it's so simple. Romans 10, it's not complicated, and religion makes it complicated. And about cleaning the outside, and that's not what we're talking about. What Romans 10 says, it says to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and to confess Him as Lord. And you say, God, Jesus is my Lord. I'm giving my life to You today. And when you do that, He comes flooding into your life. And He'll bring His benefit package with Him. We call that salvation. So if you're here today and you say, yes, Pastor, I want that. I want the salvation package. I want His forgiveness. I want my spirit to be made alive. If that's you, I want to go to heaven when I die. If that's you, lift your hand boldly. Don't be afraid. Just lift it and say, yes, that's what I want. See some hands here. Who else? Just be bold. Praise God. You can look up here. Let's all stand. Ladies, would you do me a favor? Would you come up here? Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Would you guys lift your hands? Yeah, yeah. All the ladies over there, come on up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I know the enemy and I know about fear and trying to hold people back. But 2015 is going to be different. You're going to get what you want, what you need. And so, and we're not judging anybody. But let's ask our neighbor. Says, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. Do that. Ask your neighbor. Not judging anybody, but we don't want anybody to miss out on what he has. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I kind of like this, how we're facing the congregation, because there's no judgment here. There's love and grace and mercy, and we're together in this. Amen. What a great way to start off 2015. Hallelujah. Glory. So all of us, let's just pray this prayer together. I'm going to lead us and just pray this from your heart. Say, Father in heaven, you are so good, so kind, so gracious. I receive your love today. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your healing. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. My spirit is made alive right now. Now show me your plan for my life in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for each person here that's come forward today. I pray for them, Father, that you'll just surround them with love and encouragement, people that care for them, that will speak the truth in love, that will help them walk this Christian life out, that not one would be lost, that they would all live long, satisfied lives, Father, and be thriving, healthy believers. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.